In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There are seven petitions in the Lord's Prayer, just as there are seven signs, seven miracles in the Gospel of John. In the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus directs us to ask, "Give us this day our daily bread." And in the fourth sign of John's Gospel, we see Jesus answering this prayer as he feeds the 5,000 with bread. Luther's explanation of the fourth petition begins in this way: God certainly gives daily bread to everyone without our prayers, even to all evil people. But we pray in this petition that God would lead us to realize this and to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving. The Jews, in John chapter 6, are an example of evil people who receive their daily bread without thanksgiving. Jesus feeds them. They gobble up the bread. They love Jesus when he gives them bread. But as we see in the following verses, they hate Jesus when he gives them his words. By the end of the chapter, the 5,000 will all turn away from Jesus and follow him no more. When we think of evil people, we might have in mind the Mohammedans who concluded their observance of Ramadan last night, or the Satanists who tried to desecrate a consecrated host outside the Kansas State Capitol on Friday. But we don't need to look that far afield. Evil people can generally be found much closer to Jesus, even within the church. The crowd of 5,000 is made of Jews. These were supposed to be the people of God. Jesus tells them in verse 27, "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you." But they have no interest in the bread of life. They care only about filling their bellies in this moment. So Jesus must teach evil people to labor for the food which endures. In other words, he must create believers out of unbelievers. How does he do this? Through holy baptism, to be sure, but also in other ways. Sometimes he teaches us by allowing us to go without daily bread, at least for a time. This is what he does in John 6. First, he goes out into the wilderness, knowing that there will be no bread for the people who follow after him. Then he purposely causes panic in Philip's heart by asking him, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But he said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. From the beginning, Jesus has a plan. He is going to give daily bread to everyone without our prayers, even to all evil people. But he allows there to be a crisis so that we might realize our daily bread comes from him and so receive it with thanksgiving. When you find yourself in the midst of a crisis, you might be tempted to wonder why God has abandoned you, when instead he is carrying out his plan to draw you closer to himself. Jesus is working to teach you to look to him, the bread of life, instead of to earthly things. And when you see someone you love in the midst of a crisis, you might also be tempted to jump in and try to solve the problem immediately. But perhaps Jesus has brought that person, that loved one, out into the wilderness in order to say to him, "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you." This temptation to jump in and try to fix everything is especially present in parents and also in pastors. We don't want to see people we love suffering or going without, even temporarily. But before we jump in with a handout, we should consider, is God using this situation to draw a wayward child to himself? Is this apparent lack of daily bread part of Jesus' plan to give something far better, the bread that endures to everlasting life? The crowd looked at Jesus and saw a lunch ticket. And if the church's job was simply to draw a big crowd, this would be a sure way to do it. Fill people's bellies and they'll love you for a day. The Romans knew this. Entertain the masses with bread and circuses, and at least they won't revolt. Did the crowd love Jesus? For sure they did. They loved him so much, they were about to seize him by force and make him their king. But it wasn't Jesus that they loved. They loved having full bellies, and Jesus was just a means to that end. In the second petition of the Lord's Prayer, we ask, "Thy kingdom come." This is a prayer that God would bring his kingdom. Only he can do this, and he will do it in his way and in his time. But the crowd had other plans. They were going to bring the kingdom now, and it would be in the way they had decided. They would seize Jesus and make him their king. But if we make Jesus king, then he is no king at all. If we bring his kingdom, it's not his kingdom, but ours that we bring. We're always in a hurry to bring heaven down to earth, to restore the lost paradise of Eden. But consider what happens in history every time man attempts to bring the kingdom of God on his own terms. Every time we attempt to create a utopian paradise here on earth. Whether it's the USSR, Jonestown, or the New World Order, we can only ever succeed in creating hell on earth. Jesus must bring his kingdom. At the beginning of our text, we are told, "Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was near." The Jews were preparing to celebrate Passover, but they didn't know what it meant, any more than Jews today know what it means. It was near, it was approaching, but with their eyes on their bellies, they couldn't see how close the Passover truly was. They were so focused on earthly bread, they couldn't recognize the bread of life even when he stood before them. Jesus said, "Labor for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you." This was a promise. The Passover is near. I will give you the food which endures to everlasting life. I will give you the bread of life. And this is a promise kept. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." This is not the way we would have chosen to bring the kingdom. When Jesus said to Philip, "Where shall we get bread that these may eat?" This is not the answer that Philip or any of us would ever have come up with. But Jesus himself had always known what he would do. His kingdom comes in the way he has appointed, even when that way, that means of grace, seems simple and ordinary. Today, many Christians, like the unbelieving Jews, see only bread. They don't recognize the body of Christ. Or perhaps they're still too busy dictating to Jesus how, when, and where his kingdom will come, too busy appointing their own means of grace. And so they do not apprehend Jesus in the manner of his choosing. So Jesus must teach us to pray, "Thy kingdom come." He teaches us to believe that he will build his church, even in the midst of the wilderness. For from the beginning, he has always known what he would do. "This is my body given for you." That was always his plan. Even when he allowed you to suffer a moment or a season of panic, wondering, "Where will we get bread in the midst of this desolate place?" Jesus' only intention has been to give himself for you. We ask, "Give us this day our daily bread." And Jesus answers. But he gives us far more than just bread. He gives us the medicine of immortality. He gives us forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. And by faith, we take him at his word. By faith, we receive the bread he promised, not food which perishes, but the food that endures to eternal life. In the name of Jesus, amen.